Hi, everybody. Welcome to Tennis Heads. I am your host, Kirby Martin. Today, we're going to go over which women had the best 2018. But before that, some kind of sad news. Andy Murray announcing his impending retirement. I'm going to leave a link to this video of the press conference yesterday in Australia with Andy in the show notes. Man, it was dramatic. So a bit of a spoiler alert. If you don't want to know anything about the press conference before you watch it, just skip ahead to the women's portion of the show. But yeah, it was crazy. So Andy sits down in the press room, and there's an announcement that you can hear like off camera of a woman saying, okay, we're just going to take a few questions. And Andy's already like wiping tears from his eyes. He's got his head down. He's got a cap on. He's kind of blocking his eyes, you know, by putting his head down, shielding his eyes. And this goes on for almost a couple minutes. And then finally, Andy is just unable to speak and just gets up and leaves. He's so overcome with emotion. He was holding back tears. It was remarkable. I've never seen a press conference of any kind where the person leaves because they're going to cry. So then the video cuts and he comes back in and he does it. He talks about it and and even then he's still, you know, kind of crying and really fighting back tears and whatnot. And it was emotional. I mean, it was really, really, really dramatic. So the deal is that he says for the past 20 months, he's been suffering from incredible pain from a bad right hip. And he says he's done everything he can to try to fix it, and nothing is working. He did have surgery on it, hoping that it would at least lessen the pain a little bit. And he said it had zero effect on the pain. He said things like putting on his shoes and socks were really painful. So I think it's easy for consumers of sport to just kind of look casually at something like this and say, oh, well, he can get surgery or they'll rehab or whatever. But this is like he consistently in this interview talked about quality of life. And he seemed very, very distraught, which is completely understandable given that he's suffering like enormous pain day to day just doing simple stuff like walking. So he did talk about a surgery that he's probably going to have that he described as like resurfacing his hip or something. And this apparently Bob Bryan just had, and he is back playing. Andy said that the goal of having that surgery is to have a better quality of life post-tennis, not to play tennis on that after he has that surgery. He said that obviously the grind on the body in singles is much different than it is in doubles. So he did say he's going to play the Australian. That also kind of seemed to be in question. And then he said he would try to hang on until Wimbledon. So, I don't know. I definitely feel for the guy. And, wow, tennis is really, really going to miss him. He's been one of the best five players over the past decade. And he's been one of the fastest guys on tour. He's been one of the most consistent guys on tour. His rally ball is way up there. I kind of put his rally ball up there with Djokovic's in terms of its margin of error and its consistency, and that combined with his ability to organize his feet makes him an incredibly consistent player and an overwhelming force in the sport. He has three Grand Slam titles and yeah, it just this one sucks. He's not going out on his own terms. He's being forced to retire by just a bad wheel. And while it's not the worst thing in the world, it's just in terms of sport and tennis, it's pretty sad. I really hope that he can. I hope that this next surgery goes well and that he can live the rest of his life without severe pain. I really, really hope that for him. You could tell by watching this that it's a big deal. Like, it's real severe pain all of the time. So I was also super remiss the other day when I did my 2018 men's analysis about who had the best year in even mentioning Andy Murray, for which I apologize. Out of sight, out of mind, he hasn't played in 20 months, so I did think of him as playing at the Aussie Open, and for that reason, I stated that it would be one of the toughest draws, if not the toughest draw of all time for the men. That was a pretty major oversight. I guess I kind of had planned to talk about him as the tournament progressed and as the year progressed. But I wish the guy the best of luck. And one of his fellow players posted something on Instagram that said, actually, no, it was Billie Jean King posted something on Twitter that said that the most important things he'll do in life are probably ahead of him, which is awesome. Billie Jean King is amazing, and she's done so much for the world post tennis. And I can definitely see Andy being a force of good in the world post tennis. So good luck, Andy. We will definitely miss you on the court, but good things are ahead. All right, so on to which women's player had the best 2018. We're going to start at the top. There is one name that stands out above everybody, and that is the French Open champion, starting the year of 2018 at world number one, ending the year of 2018 at world number one, Simona Halep. She was 46 and 11 on the year. She had three titles. In addition to the French, she also won Montreal and Shenzhen. Amazing consistency. Interesting to note that her coach, Darren Cahill, has stopped coaching. He cited family as the reason. You can imagine how much of a grind it is to fly all around the world all year long, multiple years in a row, and how much that would inhibit you spending time with your children. So I totally get it. I'm actually pretty glad for Dan that he is cooling it at least for a while. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of an effect this has on Simona. I suspect that she's going to be just fine. I think there was a patch there, of course, where she was a pretty big head case in terms of not being able to just stay the course and fall apart mentally. I think she's going to be just fine, and I look for her to be one of the dominant forces on the women's side in 2019. Next up, we have Angelique Kerber. She began the year at World 21 and finished the year at World Number 2. Pretty good year. 21 to 2 is not so bad. She was 50 and 19. She won Wimbledon, also Sydney. She's back. She had her kind of hangover after being world number one. She really fell apart, actually, after being world number one and winning a slam. But wow, she really righted the ship last year, and it's great to see. She's awesome. Really, really cool that the venerable Carolina Wozniacki finally won a Grand Slam. She won the Australian Open last year. She began the year at world number three and finished at world number three. So she finally gets her Grand Slam, which is great because forever, she's been labeled as the best women's player to have never won a slam, blah, blah, blah. She was number one in the world for a little while, could never close the deal on a grand slam, and now she's got it in. I'm thrilled for her. I'm really, really pumped about it because she seems like such a cool person, and she's just a really pleasant individual. She's super positive. I love her game. Tons of margin. Looks like she's actually found a shot that's a little flatter. Not to say that she still doesn't play with a lot of margin most of the time. She hits a lot of topspin on the ball, keeps the ball clear of the net, brings the ball down inside the baseline with that topspin. But she's also being a little more aggressive, flattening that ball out sometimes when appropriate. And it's really cool to see. And I think that that has probably been a huge factor in her going back into the top five again. So Wozniacki is not going anywhere. She's fit as a fiddle. I really don't know if there's a more fit player on tour than Caroline Wozniacki. And she has been that fit for 10 plus years. All right, so coming in to 2018 at world number 6 and finishing at number 4 was Iva Svitolina. Svitolina, for me, is kind of like the ghost on the tour. You never really hear about her. She's not really at the front of my mind when I think about the women's tour, but she was 44-15 last year. She had 4 titles, including the WTA Finals. So this is super steady Eddie. She is going to, I think she's going to be able to do this for a while. She's got amazing game. She's really fit. She's super consistent. And she's going to continue this, I feel, in 2019. So one of the biggest jumps this year was someone who came into 2018 ranked 68th in the world and finished the year at number 5. And this would be Naomi Osaka. She finished the year at 44-22. She won the US Open and Indian Wells. Obviously, two super huge titles. Other than those tournaments, she doesn't really have a lot of points to defend this year. And interestingly, she got to the semifinal last week and jumped a spot. She's now world number 4, only after having gotten to the semifinals. So I think there's some room, as long as she makes deep runs at the US Open and Indian Wells again, there's some room for her to climb a lot higher. So it's going to be super, super interesting to see what Naomi does this year. She is definitely one of the players that I'm most keen on watching. Along with that, Sloane Stephens, 39-19 last year, won title in Miami. This was a little bit of a sophomore slump after winning the US Open the year before. She finished 2017 ranked 13th and then climbed to number 6. So she actually had a pretty good year. I mean, 39-19 is really, really good. I think that she is a contender for majors. Every single major. She, in my mind, has the most consistent style of game of anybody on the women's tour. Even more consistent than like Halep, Kerber, Wozniacki, because of the margin that she plays with. And her coach deserves a ton of credit, I feel like, because as soon as he came along, she started to be really, really patient. Hit with a lot of her meat and potatoes rally ball is never going out. That's just a shot. It's like that Murray shot. It's like that Wozniacki shot. It clears the net by a lot, has a lot of top on it, and is unaffected by the wind. It's a really, really great rally ball shot. So she obviously can hammer the ball when need be, and she knows now what the right time to do that is. And she's got good serve game and good return game. So Sloane Stephens, I feel like, is one of the contenders for majors this year and in the coming years. Next player up started the year 29, now 7, Petra Kvitova. Wow, she had an amazing year. 47 wins, 17 losses, 5 titles. None of the titles were that big, but she came with it. I mean, 5 titles is 5 titles. And this after this crazy, unfortunate attack in her home where this guy injured her hitting hand, her left hand. And I'm really, really, really psyched to see Petra back in the mix. She's one of the dominant players for sure. Karolina Pliskova is next up. Started the year 4, ended 8, but given her first result this year of winning her first tournament, I feel like she's firing on all cylinders. She's going to be a real force this year. She was 49 and 23 last year with 2 titles, Tokyo and Stuttgart. Next up, Kiki Bertens. Started the year 31, finished 9. She won Cincinnati, Seoul, and Charleston. She was 46 and 23. Kiki Bertens, wow. This one kind of caught me by surprise. She was not on my radar, and she started the year 31. She finished 9, which this is that's not a common sight on either tour. So I'm very keen on watching her this year and to see how she deals with being world number 9. My feeling is there's a chance that she could drop back into the 30s. A lot of players have found it really hard to handle success. A lot of the players that I've already mentioned have really found it hard to handle success. Simona Halep, Angelique Kerber, Caroline Wozniacki, Sloane Stephens, and Pliskova have all had their hangovers after getting into the top 10. So it'd be really interesting to see if Kiki can avoid that pattern. Daria Kasatkina comes in the year ranked 24, finishes at 10, which is super impressive. Only one title, 42 and 24. How did she do that? She gained 14 spots, cracked the top 10 with only one title, and it was just Moscow, which isn't a huge tournament. So she's one to watch. This speaks to amazing consistency throughout the year, and all eyes are going to be on her for sure this year. Sevastova came into the year 16, finished 11. She did have one title. She tied for the most wins at 51. She was 51 and 23 last year. She's a force. No weaknesses. Super fit. Incredible defense. Look for her to stay definitely in the top 15 this year. Then Mertens comes in the year at 36, finishes at 12. I mean, so many of these players just came out of nowhere. So she was 48 and 22. She did grab 3 titles, Rabat, Lugano, and Hobart. So those aren't huge titles. I feel like she doesn't even have a lot of points to defend this year, so she could even climb if she can continue to play the way she played last year. Probably the most interesting entry into the top 20 last year was Aryna Sabalenka. She came into the year ranked 73rd in the world and finished 13th, 51 and 25. 2 titles. She made the Cincy final. And she just took down another title last week. So she's got it all. She's a big body. She's strong. She plays reasonable defense. She's got a great serve. And she's got great groundies. Both wings are powerful and she's confident. She's one of the more confident players on tour right now. I expect that she will climb into the top 10 for sure this year. It doesn't look like she's showing any signs of letting up after having such a successful year last year. Julia Gerges finished and started the year at 14th. She won 2 titles last year. She's already won a title this year, 47 and 24. This really caught me off guard. She was totally off my radar. I saw her play one time in person, and I was really just not impressed with her mentality. She just seemed very negative. Of course, seeing somebody one day in their life is like taking a photo of them. It's like one moment in their life. But given that that was the only time I'd ever seen her live, it stuck with me. She was just very negative in her match, which she lost. And I thought, well, she's not going anywhere. which, if 14th in the world is nowhere, then I was right. Ashley Barty, wow, this is another one that surprised me to see that she came in to 2018 ranked 17th. She finished 15th. I had kind of thought of Ashley Barty as like somebody ranked in like the 50s, 60s. She had an amazing year, 46 and 19, two titles. Interesting to see what she'll do this year. Serena finished the year at 18 and 6, so obviously she didn't play hardly at all, coming off the birth of her beautiful baby girl. God, that girl is cute. She came into the year at 22. She finished at 16. Obviously, she hardly played. I am very much looking forward to see what she does this year. It looks like Venus this is her swan song. This will be her last year. Very, very, very unfortunately, they are right next to each other in the Aussie Open draw. They were also right next to each other in the US Open draw last time. I call BS. I think there ought to be an amendment to the rules. The Williams sisters are on opposite sides of the draw each and every Grand Slam. Of course, I say that tongue in cheek, but really it just pains me to see all of my favorite players like right next to each other in the draw, which seems to happen a lot of the time. So Cerizl is a heavy favorite. If you don't think she's a heavy favorite, then you haven't been paying attention for the past 15 years. She always comes into the Aussie having not played, blah, 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 and she always kills it. First round vulnerability, but Serena is right up there in the mix. Madison Keys started the year 19, finished 17. She didn't really play that much, 29 and 14. Really interested to see how Madison navigates this year. As mentioned in my previous podcast, I really think that she needs to take some steps in terms of mentality and strategy in order to grab a Grand Slam. It'll be interesting to see if she can show signs of doing that this year. And then finishing the year at number 18, having started the year at number 2 in the world, is Garbiñe Muguruza. She only won one title last year. She actually had a decent record, 35 and 20. Again, this is another example of somebody who had experienced success and then just kind of dropped off. It'll be super interesting to see what she brings to the table in 2019. The aforementioned venerable Venus Williams came in at 5, finished at 39. She only played a few matches, ended the year at 17 wins, 11 losses. I love Venus. Venus is probably my favorite women's player of all time. She, from day one, has showed the utmost class in every single situation. There was one tiny blip where she smashed rackets in, I'm not sure which tournament that was. It might have been Cincinnati, but man, I mean, she's been on tour for what, like 73 years? And she is always, you cannot tell when she shakes her opponent's hand at the net if she has won or lost the match. You just can't tell. She always has that bright smile. She always shakes the umpire's hand. She never shows any kind of malice in any kind of situation. And I don't know if you guys remember that the very beginning of her career, she had this run-in with a player on a changeover. And by run-in, I mean that they actually ran into each other. It was like a game of chicken. They were both taking a line like towards each other, and they neither of them gave an inch, and they actually bumped into each other. And Venus had this reaction like, oh, my bad. Like she kind of, I don't know if she said anything, but she kind of like turned a little bit and was like, oh, oops. And the other girl bulldogged her way through the whole thing. Like, the other girl just kept walking. She was like a bull. She just literally, and she had no reaction to the collision at all. And after that match, this other woman called her, she said she thinks she's the effing, but actually using the bad word, Venus Williams. And she got fined for it. Venus won that match. And this was Venus when she was like 18 or 19 or something. And even in that highly contentious moment, Venus showed a ton of class. And even at that very young age. And now at the age of 37, she's just so classy. I think that probably more than any other player in the last 20 years, Venus has carried the mantle for the women in terms of honoring the game and bringing a lot of class and good vibes and maturity to the sport. She was the major driving force in gaining equal pay for women at the majors. Venus Williams was not single-handedly responsible for that, but she was a driving force in that effort. And the women do get equal pay at the majors, which they absolutely deserve. The majors wouldn't be anywhere nearly as interesting without the women or the men. Like, you have to have both. For me, I love watching a women's match and then switching over to a men's match. I'm like, whoa, they hit the ball so hard. It's crazy. And then I'm like fiending for a women's match. I go and watch the women, and it's like just super consistent, like beautiful athleticism. It's just a different game. They're just different games. So that variety, I think, counts for a lot in the sport. I think it counts a lot in the overall bottom line of revenue money for the sport. So I absolutely feel like the women deserve equal prize money at the majors. So Venus has been really the best ambassador for the sport for the past 20-ish years. And I know that she'll continue to be after she's done. I am just absolutely enamored with her. And I had the great pleasure of seeing her win three matches in Cincinnati about 6 years ago, 5 years ago. And that was amazing for me. I went to, obviously, I just like sweated her in all of her matches. She won three matches, and that was when she was coming back. So that was a really, really, really big result for her at the time. And well, I just love watching her. The game's going to really, really miss her when she's gone. And she is definitely one of the legends of the sport. So it's a quick overview of the ladies, the top ladies of the year in 2018. The Australian Open begins on Monday. If you were not aware, I will be breaking down the women's draw in the men's draw right quick. I am so pumped for this. It's going to be so amazing. One little teaser is that, don't know if you remember last year in the first round, Simona Halep got bounced by Kontaveit in the first round. Guess who Simona Halep plays in the first round this year? Yep. So that is going to be wow. And there's just, I went through the draws briefly, and it's just brutal. Every other match is like, oh, I can't believe they have to play each other. Like, literally, half the matches are like, no way. I can't believe these two players are playing each other. So it's going to be really, really interesting. I will break that down. Please get at me with questions, comments, concerns, whatever. I want to hear it all. And please subscribe. Please tell your friends. Also, rate and review. That super helps. I don't know if anybody's reviewed the show yet. I would love for somebody to review the show. I'll have to look. I actually hadn't even thought about that. You can get at me on Twitter at tennisheads with the Z, HEADZ, and email tennisheads@gmail.com. Hey, you guys, thanks so much for listening. The draw reviews will be out in a couple of days, definitely before the Aussie starts. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great day. Thanks for joining. Bye-bye.